Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast, National Player 2 Podcast. We're back with the second part of the first episode of the second season of the Rodania game. I'm joining back so that Velvet and Robert can have discussions about what their characters feel, since they would have had these discussions over the intervening over a year that they were basically imprisoned for and about the Estellian family. So go ahead. I don't want to interrupt.
Why the Estellians are suspect? The Estellians made us an offer of basically, hey, be fed, blah, 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 and all that, and so on. And we were on the fence about this because they're not the royal family and we didn't want to just back them for that. Their troops stood by while we got raced to the ground. They were nearby, they were in a position to help, they were in a position to fight against the Dragonborn, and they stood by.
But, excuse me, what was the reason exactly you denied them loyalty? Again?
They're not my king.
Why so?
Because they're not the royal family. I understand that the royal family question is currently in question, but they basically straight up made their power play apparent. I wasn't interested in backing that.
And, well, who is your king?
That would be no one right now. But I'm sure the successor states each have their own opinions on that.
And excuse my manners if I somehow sound rude, but...
I know where this is going, but go on. I'm bracing myself.
Have you heard of the concept of lying?
As a ruler, a lie should not be employed. Especially not between what would be seen as peers. Honor is one of the few things which others can rely on. When we give our words are our bond.
Right. However, it seems to me like honor and your conception of what is right to lie about pretty much got all those people killed. You see, I understand that your word is your bond, however, from time to time you need to learn to be able to bend the rules a little bit for your own gain. Otherwise, well, things like that happen.
You're not telling me anything I haven't told myself over the past year.
Really? And what is your conclusion?
My conclusion is that this is not my path. I will face a foe on the battlefield. I will not lie to his face.
Well, clearly, it's not just your path you're talking about. If you're a ruler, you need to consider the paths of the many that depend on you. So I understand if it is not your path to lie, but sometimes a ruler is required to make hard decisions for their people.
I have news on this front. I no longer rule over anything.
Well, if you aspire to be one.
No, I aspire to burn to the ground those which have brought death to my land.
Oh my.
If it can be put together from the pieces, so be it.
Oh my. What a vengeful individual.
Yes.
Does hatred concentrate? No, wait, that's not how I wanted it. No.
There's a lot of hatred concentrated in a very small form, yes.
Yes, yes. That, I say that.
Yes. I understand. I'm not being unreasonable about this in the sense of like I can make my choices. I will not sacrifice an unnecessary amount of people, but I consider myself at war. And I consider myself in war against a foe which needs to be removed.
All right. Well, as I've already told you, the Astellians are pretty much one of my only doors of even remotely having a hope to take back my kingdom, so...
Can I come up with something? Can I give you a thought back here? If the Astellians wanted to have found you, they could have. They did not. They did not send messages to you. The Astellians are more powerful with connections to the Fae and connections on this end. If they would have wanted to find you and to ransom you, they would have. They abandoned you.
They didn't. They understood that it would have been a bad look politically to just take me as they wished. And they did contact me, actually. Don't speak of things you don't know of. You see, they really are my only door. And I understand that what happened between you was kind of sore. However, I hope that you can also understand my situation. I am going to be queen again, no matter what. And if they are my pathway to reaching my rightful crown, then so be it. But I do have empathy for your experiences. I will not forget them. And maybe when I become queen again, we might be able to sort those things out. Might even help you get some revenge. If it is rightful, of course. Righteous, sorry. That's it.
Yeah. Not sure if revenge is ever righteous.
Okay.
Yes, no.
I want the conversations to happen, but I also don't want to isolate certain people, so.
Yes.
Of course. No, that's why I ended it there.
Yeah. So, back in Fruselholm. So, we're going to shift focus now to Darius and Eldris. So, Darius, you have arrived back. You have been going over your current shipment from the Axebreaker clan. So, your trade agreement with the, whatchamacallit, with the barbarian clans have actually been continuing. So, whatchamacallit, you basically have still been purchasing sort of items from them in order to basically ship down to your area down in the desert. So your sort of desert estate that you sort of currently have. So you still have those sort of pieces operating, which you have been using in your infinite wisdom. You have been using those to sort of ship information and into and out of this area. So you've been working your sort of, you've been working your network of spies, trying to figure out what's going on. So as I will sort of shift people's focus to here.
Ooh.
The archery.
Yes. So, you know somewhat what has been going on. You know that your estate, your main estate has been in ruins. So basically that your estate grounds basically took the brunt of the assaults when your family basically had to escape from the land. There have been rumors about the Duskwoods. So if you remember, the Duskwoods were the nature aligned one that your family basically made a deal with the ruling nature spirit that sort of possessed the Duskwoods. It has turned against people in recent months. So there, you've
someone
been sort of
keeping the deals. So.
Well, you, the person who was keeping the deal is dead. So
Our warden. Yeah, fair. Yeah, you might need to reassign a new warden to keep everything going.
So you probably need to sort of reassess that whole situation. You will know that the bandit lord has sort of taken over large portions of the Trial Woods. So you still have the banditry situation going on in the Trial Woods. Elder Hearth was burned to the ground.
Oh.
There appears to be undead operating out of that city. So people have avoided Elder Hearth.
Well, thank God we have our retainer with us then.
And Bogwood. So, the Dragonborn never left Bogwood. They took over the city, and they are currently ruling over the halfling class that have remained inside of the city with an iron fist.
All right.
So they have basically a lot of the Dragonborn soldiers. Yeah, surprisingly. A lot of the Dragonborn soldiers... A lot of the Dragonborn soldiers that didn't return to the Silver Keep basically are now operating as banditry type people. They're basically gangs of soldiers sort of occupying different areas of the country.
Right.
So, additionally, you will know that there is strong animosity towards the Dragonborn in Bogwood with the people who are currently camping out in the Trial Woods.
Yeah, what kind of people are in the Trial Woods? Is it like, is it specific race or?
Okay, so the best way
character it started as bandits and then probably became bandits and everyone who survived from us who didn't get out.
Yes, Robert has a good opinion of it. So basically, what it was bandits in so much as the cities and the nobility were falling. So the people who were like soldiers and stuff who now no longer had noble backing, they sort of flocked together and basically created sort of their own gang to sort of defend their own area, and they occupied the Trial Woods. The problem when the game originally started was that Jornin was still nobility and he still had a standing army and it was his area that they were sort of occupied out of. But you guys didn't openly attack them and you sort of made a subtle agreement with them. Basically, we will deal with you at a later time sort of agreement. And the later time never sort of came. So that is the information that you currently have about your immediate old barony.
Good source to help relieve the Bogwood people then.
Okay, so moving back to here.
There might be a source of manpower and soldiers there if we are careful enough in dealing with that, yes.
So Pro, on this map here, where was that in relation to this?
Right here. Former barony of Eastward.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
They're small enough that I didn't actually like sort of plot it out there.
That's fine.
But maybe I don't know if it's
I don't think this is the artery. The
artery runs from here into the parent reserve thing.
Yeah. Yeah. We were way smaller.
You were not a large area.
Yeah. Our big river is not big enough to be on the main map. Gotcha.
We built our underground kingdom somewhere and it suddenly become big on the map.
So again, your power play, as was mentioned in the very early days of the campaign, was that the nobility didn't like you, like being halflings and stuff like that. There was probably some just general like, yeah, but they're halflings. Like, why are they nobility? But the fact that you actually kept really good relations with the Axebreaker clan and Moon Mountain clan, which probably gave you outsized influence because you had those trade routes open with you. You could actually depend on the Moving Mountain Axebreaker clan to defend your lands. They actually did like give you warriors and stuff like that. But they did. You actually, again, going back to this, you actually have the Axebreakers. Where are they?
Beneath you.
No,
for a specific thing, not the clan.
You actually have
units or something.
You actually have the Axebreakers, which are the NPCs who are basically journeying with you. They're young members of the Axebreaker clans who joined up with you.
Yeah, the crew. Yeah. They're basically the adventuring squad of the Axebreakers.
Yeah, so you actually had these members who actually basically journeyed with you, as I was saying.
Have they come back with us here, or are they?
Since we're not doing combat, I'm not going to worry about which specific things like that.
Which are weird.
So,
any news from Hammerdeep?
Okay, news is coming from Hammerdeep, but currently you are currently in You currently have been talking with your family members. So yeah. you have that. Now, again, Hammerdeep likes your family. Specifically, you are a cousin, so you always will have good relationship with the family, because family is everything to dwarves.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest issue is proximity.
Mm-hmm.
They, in order for them to send a standing army, they have to, like, cross over other people's areas.
Absolutely. I was just curious if they had had any, like, if there's been any talk about them doing any expansions on their own or anything. But they seem...
No. The only thing that the Hammerdeep seems to be, that there is something going on with the Hammerdeep clan and Shadowspire currently. And also, they might end up forming defensive structures around the Herent Reserve. They might reservoir.
Oh, yeah.
So they might actually decide to take over basically the water source of the area and sort of keep dominion over that. If they do that, they'll probably end up like building a dam somewhere and doing stuff like that and building up some sort of infrastructure around this area. So if things progress, you think that they might actually do something around this area, and that will become part of their lands.
They have some expansion ideas, possibly, at least. But
it is
defensive expansion, definitely.
Again, that is sort of like their immediate goals is to sort of protect the water source.
Yeah, exactly. So they don't get starved out of Hammerdeep.
The most of the reservoir gets fed from snowfall from the mountains. It's not like they're worried about the water running back into the mountains. It's more like cool.
Just checking.
Alright, anything else?
Excellent. I mean, what other news am I able to gather with my very crippled network here?
Yeah.
Definitely taking what I get. I don't know if I have any specific questions. I mean, what are the stallions up to?
So the other information you have coming out of the Barbarian Lands is the Barbarians formed basically a guerrilla warfare with Agathania's Brood. So, as was mentioned in the sort of opening chapter when Robert was asking questions, the Barbarians were away from their lands and then came back to occupied lands, and they sort of waged the Northern War against Agathania's Brood. And if any group is going to be able to wage a guerrilla warfare against a standing army, it is going to be the Barbarians. So they did manage to sort of take back their lands and basically cut. They're one of the reasons why the supply lines were sort of cut off, was because they basically were able to attack the army from the rear without them even realizing it, and which basically worked to the advantage of the Estellians and the dwarves without ever negotiating with them.
Yeah.
As I said, those are the information you have, but things will progress. Any more questions?
Yeah, I was curious. Are there any rumors I've been able to gather from the Stadion Lands and the current offensives?
All right, so the Estellians currently, so as I mentioned, prior to everything happening, the Estellians were buying up all the food in order to protect the food. Now, as I pointed out in the game, the Estellians didn't hoard the food to starve people out. Estellians basically, once they owned all of the food, they started basically rationing it out to everyone so that there was no run on food from any of the places that were sort of...
They aren't starving people, they're controlling the food.
Basically, they want you to support them out of love. Like, you're... Basically, their manner of control is, we can't go against them. They control everything, but they're also not, like, outwardly starving us and making us suffer. It's like they're bribing people to support them, is sort of a way to put it.
Yep.
Work.
But as you were also explicitly told from the lady of the Stallion House, whose name I currently can't think of, not Angela, the other one. Anyway, you were explicitly told from her, she says, what is the difference? Like, if you're doing something out of love, or you're doing something to manipulate them, what is the difference? Because you're still keeping those people alive, and they're still you're still supporting them.
Yes.
So it's like she's saying, like, if you do something good, but you're doing it from a place of hatred, does it actually matter? Is there actually a difference? So yes. That was sort of the philosophical difference you had with the Estellians. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to the group. So, Darius, Eldris, Yornin and Velvet arrive. Oh, not Velvet. Yornin and Serana arrive.
Cousin, you're back!
Cousin, you are a welcome sight. Come, embrace me.
Yes, of course.
I'm old and weary, and you are still very round and soft. What are you feeding you down in the south?
What am I feeding myself, you mean?
Well, you're feeding yourself. That was going to be the thing, yeah, exactly. How are things? How is my son? How is everything?
Oh, things are getting stable. We've made a good foothold in the south. There's some interesting discoveries they're looking into there, but now we need to capitalize on this peace, as it were. We need to reclaim what we can.
Yes.
Right? This is an opportunity.
I would stay here, try to find my former troops, make contact with the tribes which were known to me.
I think we have the right people on the front.
And then see that anything at some point which was left off the narrow watch will be free of Dragonborn occupation, and everything to the right of it will regret being anywhere in allegiance with the Dragonborn occupation.
Of course. We shall do what we can to drive out the invaders.
Yes.
But come, let me introduce you to a friend that we've made in our journey.
Yes.
And you must introduce me to your friend. Well, let's have some food as well.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's easier to make introductions over dinner.
Darius, this is Sierana Lindis. She was a captive and refugee while traveling the land. She must be returned to... Eventually, she might choose to return to the Estellians.
Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Serana does a curtsy. And she bows slightly while Luna grabbing her little dress.
Return to...
I will say, you're probably not wearing a dress. You're probably in road journey.
As if she was wearing a dress, like imaginary. The imaginary.
Okay. Oh, as if she was wearing. Okay. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
No. I just made it up. Okay.
No, but please. Yes, it's so nice to make acquaintances. But please come in, and we'll have a little seat. I've managed to secure a place where we can have a quiet conversation over some food and drink.
Oh, I am very grateful. Thank you so much. What is your name, dear sir?
Darius. Darius Quarterling.
Darius.
He is a distant cousin of mine and a dear friend.
Oh, I see.
He will look peculiar because he is going to be shorter than a dwarf, and he's basically as wide as he is tall.
Uh-huh.
Shaped like a square.
Yeah,
right. Jake, like a barrel, yeah.
And this is Aldrus Pith, an associate of mine, as he's joined our adventures. He is very adept at his field, specialty fields.
Well,
I
see the bearings of the Lord of the Ghouls on you. Hello, Aldrus.
Hello,
it's my
lord.
Nice to meet. Nice to meet to make your meeting.
And it is my pleasure to make yours. An honor. And the live figure extends his hand down to you and reaches to shake your hand.
Yeah, Jordan is afraid to shake an undead's hand, so he will.
He's just
straight up shaking your hand. Yep.
I shake
about to say
hand.
the fact that you're an adherent to the Ghoul Lord, the height is more awkward than anything else. It's just
the height is more awkward than anything else. Cousin, I know there's a lot or something. Did you prepare a stepladder for me so I can introduce myself to people their height?
Of course.
Great.
I know the
procedure. He brings out the royal apple box.
The whole time
royal apple box.
Yes. I mean, they're absolutely... I always have an apple box, but also there are more official stools.
Yeah, the whole time during that thing, they didn't want to give me a stepladder because they thought I would be using it in order to escape or something, when I just wanted to be at the same height with people.
So they don't have to be that, I see. Yes.
No, that was like... I mean, I get it. I probably would have used it in order to escape, but also it's like, it was awkward. Everyone was looking down on me. In more ways than one.
Of course.
So our alliance with the Ghoul Lord stands up?
Yes, it is stronger than ever.
We stand together, my lord. I wish to only make sure that you have the strongest army in order to take back your throne.
Wonderful, thank you. My cousin has informed me that they are undead in my former lands.
Yes.
Yeah, there's some ill news indeed in our former Mississippi.
Darius, you can make a religion check. Make a religion check with advantage to get more information about the undead. Eldris, you can make a religion check with advantage.
All right,
Darius got it.
Yeah.
So, I did might you not want be, me to roll as well, or?
Nope.
I roll high enough with my...
He was getting the active information. I'm going to assume that Eldris is also getting active information. You are getting secondary information. I'm just why I'm not letting the two of you roll.
I'm pretty sure Eldris doesn't know what he's necessarily giving. He's just giving straight like facts that he's been informed about.
Paul.
All right, so I'm going to send you a link, Darius. This is what you know of that is currently infecting Elderhearth.
But yeah, Cyphers, you are free to roll a religion with advantage, she said as well.
Oh, I am too. Okay, I'm sorry.
I said your character's name.
I'm sorry, bud.
It's okay. Ah, son of a bitch. I hate those things. That's old school. Prot. And I love you, and I hate you. Yeah. You have advantage.
You have advantage, so you can roll one more d20.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You have the same information, Paul.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Well, these seems to be a highly infectious species of undead. They're the spawn of Kyus or something. I'm not sure what they are necessarily, but they seem to be infecting people with worms. And it seems to be contagious to a high degree. I'm not sure how to combat it other than...
Worms with a Y or worms with an O?
O.
Oh. I see.
Yes.
Yeah, the worm infestation is a different one.
Oh, yes.
That one seems imminent over a whole lot of this country.
But I don't know how this undead started spreading. It might be from the spirit in the woods, I guess, or it could be that the worms brought the worms. I don't know how it got in there.
Oh, make some investigation. We are still a long way away from there.
Yeah, yeah. So we might want to get our... Well, maybe our friend Piff here has some idea of how to combat the infestation. Part of it, so anyone who goes in to handle it are safe.
I'm certain that I could look into it and find some way to...
I'm sorry, do you happen to have any sort of, could I see one? Do you have them, like, physically?
I'm sure we have some sketches. I'm not so sure we have an actual corpse, but I'll
I mean, we are pretty far away from the source of it, which is my former barony.
I'll ask. I'll send a message ahead to the Moving Mountain Clan where we're heading to next to see if they can, if there's been any movement on the border.
How are they doing?
Eldris raises his hand. No matter.
Fine, I think. I haven't heard any ill news.
Sorry, Master Pith. Yes.
Eldris raises his hand and says, "No matter, my lords. I have one in my books." He goes over into to a shelf that's behind him and starts rifling. I'm sure it's here somewhere. Just a moment. And he starts looking through the things that he has and pulls out a book. It's very old. It's very dusty. And he comes over and opens the book.
Oh, my gosh.
Points to points to a picture of some necromancy, what is it called? Like autopsies and such. And he points to an example of one of these worms and says, "Here." And shows it over to the rest. "This is what we are looking for."
I will say, one of the things in the books explicitly says, incredibly infectious, do not approach. So getting a live sample is probably not something someone wants to do.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah, so there you have it.
What is the name of the worm?
Spawn of Kais, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Kais.
I mean, that is certainly, yeah,
I don't know. Yeah. I generally do not know. I call it
And Kais. What does it do?
Polycate spices.
They can infect living people and basically turns it into an undead zombie to spread more of their worms.
Oh. It's the zombie apocalypse type of zombie for once.
Oh.
But they created by like zombie worms.
And is this the first time you're dealing with such an infection? Infestation, sorry?
It's the first we've heard of it in our histories.
In our lands, yeah, probably, but I can't believe that's the first time generally.
Yeah.
Just most of the time people don't want to have worldwide apocalypses happen, so.
Yes.
Surprisingly, Rodania has dealt with more rat plagues than they have undead plagues.
Yeah. Did someone open a portal to. Or is there an open portal to. City of Doors?
There is not an open portal to Sigil that you're aware of.
Good, so we didn't get it from Dead End.
I mean, any general doorway could be an open portal to the Sigil, as I understand.
That's true, yeah.
However,
sorry.
There seems to be some sort of a leprosy increase in accordance to this. Where this infection is, so maybe it is leprosy-based somehow. Mm. So maybe cures for leprosy could be an helpful boon to ward off the worms as well.
Right. But do you believe this was Mother Nature's work, or maybe there's the possibility this might have been intentional?
That's a good question. I don't think it's nature's... I don't think there's a natural state of things. Like, we've had dead people before, and they haven't turned into these things.
Now the question here is, do you wish to get rid of it, or do you wish to harness it?
Get rid of it seems like the correct way. To me.
Get rid of it. It also goes against, unless I have been grossly misformed, the Ghoul Lord's tenants.
It will definitely go against the Ghoul Lord's tenants.
Darius, see that all information you can harness along the way and over time goes to Master Pith to help him find a solution to this.
Just to make sure, I would like to forward this to the Icebreaker clan and the Moving Mountain clan, since they are our friendly neighbors.
Of course. No, I presumed you did already. If there's an outbreak of zombies and undead there, then they should definitely be informed. Yes.
Yes, and to not approach.
Oh, the Icebreakers are also around. Wonderful.
The Icebreakers are still around. Yes, for sure. Their clan is still in the neighborhood.
Excellent. Yes.
I simply think that, you know, merely keeping one of such creatures frozen or in some sort of stasis might prove useful for the future.
Well, we should certainly see.
Eldris
points
to the line about it being incredibly infectious again.
Uh-huh. Yeah, maybe we can absolutely freeze it and then find a giant catapult and throw it into Agathemia's lair.
Well, this is a fun little bit. With the Ghoul Lord's representative here, I'm certain that we shall not consider such strategies.
5 minutes in, and we are already committing war crimes. Maybe
not only that, but we're also committing a high religious.
This is
an order that would bring the Ghoul Lord down and attack us if we ever did the action.
I think everybody who looked at Jornan while he was speaking about the catapult plan saw that he was absolutely 100% joking. This is not a thing he even considers.
And
would I be capable of such things? I would laugh.
very powerful potential weapon to harness against others. It is not something that one should... playing with the undead is not recommended in today's society, as it were.
Right, right.
With the power of the Ghoulord at its peak, weaponizing the undead is something that can bring down the wrath of gods.
My, do you think it's so important? No, but I understand. I thoroughly apologize for my words. I simply like to keep an open mind.
Yes.
No, it's understandable, but...
If you haven't heard much about the Ghoulord, I recommend that you and Mr. Pith have a long discussion about it, because the Ghoulord is a very, very strict god of the undead.
A long religious discussion about this, yes.
Yes, I'm something of an expert on the matters of the Ghoulord.
But is it strictly written that that such a thing could not be done?
It is more of a... The nature of undead is so abhorred by him that if we were to spread it, he would see it as a personal affront. And I would not like a personal affront.
No one did anything about spreading it. You know, some things are better, are more effective by the threat of a possibility rather than the actual thing.
My lord, if I may, your success is... my lord's success. We are tied together as allies. I only wish to see you have the strongest, most formidable army in the realm.
My.
I believe, however, that would also include an army which would not be a threat to itself and to the integrity of anything conquered. I would dismiss this type of undead as a volatile ally at best, and a tool which cannot be controlled safely.
But right. Bringing down an Agathamia would be tantamount to your success, my lord.
Lily Lindus, we will go and pick up our allies in a similar manner as young children occasionally go from place to place and find their own variety of monsters and hold them in storage areas. And then we shall go and make ourselves a center of command and control. Will you join us on this path of the journey? Until we have established ourselves a command post and center of operation?
So the question is, do you want me to stay with you until such a thing is done?
I ask if you want to stay. I'm not going to force you to stay. I'm just saying that is my plan right now. I'm going to take back my place. And I'm going to pick up allies like Pokemon on the way.
Oh, but I thought you said you were no ruler.
Well, I'm not yet. I might be a ruler. Soon enough. Oh,
but... Once was, maybe again.
That is the goal, my lord.
Well, I don't think the Silver Spire Keep is precisely nearby, is it? It's not, right?
I'm going to go back to the map so you can see. So, you are currently in Frusholm. Mm-hmm. The Silver Spire Keep's all the way down here.
Right.
You're moving more north, but it's still in the general direction of the Silver Spire Keep.
The plan currently for Jornan is to go around, pick up some Pokemon, then go about here-ish, make their own base of operations. Let's start conquering the country willy-nilly around, and then at some point probably get you into contact with Silver Spire.
All right.
The alternative is to wait in Frusenholm until someone is going to Brightport.
Yeah, and also leave the campaign, I believe.
Exactly. Like,
you would get on a boat, you would get over there, and the story would then wildly diverge from what I'm doing, unless Paul, the Dungeon Master, creates a truly Game of Thronesian plot, how our stories converge down along the line again.
Right. I accept your offer. I would like to stay with you, and I appreciate your hospitality while I help you gather some forces so that I can maybe one day touch Silver Spire Keep again.
Well, in whatever fashion you find yourself most comfortable to be useful, I will treasure your advice and your knowledge. I will treasure your advice and your knowledge. I don't expect you to fight at the front lines, but I do expect there to be fighting to be done at some point.
Right. Well, I don't suppose you are well armed, are you?
Actually, the warden has armed me, and I have a shield.
I'm not talking specifically about you. I'm talking, you know, do you have the supplies required
up allies,
an armed conflict?
Picking
I'm
up.
Pretty sure we brought. I'm pretty sure I was able to bring back some of our weaponry.
I think
right now, I'm not going to get into standing army specifics. Mm-hmm. We will deal with that another time. However, you do still have access to some of your forces. But most of them are going to right now be staying in the desert to hold on to your land currently in the desert. So as Jornin was saying, he's pursuing his allies to see what help they can be in these lands.
Yes.
Now, However, I do have one requirement, you could say.
Okay. Cool. What's the requirement?
Well, not only do I need to go to Silver Spire Keep, but also, I need to ensure that my life is safe. You see, it's dangerous out here, and the possibility that I might get recognized is not exactly zero.
Choose whatever name you wish to be addressed as while within this company. This will be the only way you will be known as from anyone except for those currently here.
Right.
And
yeah.
The only one who will persuade me from surrendering you against your will would be the true king of Rodania.
Right.
Who does not exist.
Right. Make up apparel. That is not my concern. My concern is that I need someone. You could say some sort of bodyguard, like knight, who could stick by me, since the possibility of an assassin being out there wanting to take my neck is not exactly low.
I find myself at a lack of knights.
I merely mention this so that as soon as we get hold of someone who is loyal and powerful and strong enough, I would like to have at least one trusted companion by my side.
And see if there will be some among the clans where one would champion you. But currently, I simply cannot promise it to you because I currently do not have it, albeit I would make one available to you once that changes.
All right, don't worry. But I appreciate it. I shall stick with you. And help you with your...
For now, you could always borrow one of my kitchen helpers. I'm sure they would be willing to be in the way if so is needed.
Oh, really?
Yes. They are quite happy to stick around and protect the people who need to be protected. But they aren't quite the capable knights that you might want in the truly.
If you do find yourself in need of a fighting man, then I will be available, given that we are traveling the same path.
Correct. I am most thankful for your proposal. I do think, aren't your kitchen men useful to you in the kitchen?
They are useful in many places.
Darius, you may speak to her about your actual job if you would like to.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's all good. But yes. So she'll be traveling with me a lot. The kitchen help, they help in many areas. They are quite the capable little creatures, as it were.
I suppose you're a good cook.
Oh, certainly. I'm the best the land has, as far as I'm aware, and maybe all the lands. But please, if you have a challenge for me in the cooking department, just give it to me and I shall attempt to give you any food that you want.
Why, thank you. I appreciate it. What a valuable asset to have in times of war. Indeed. A good cook.
Actually true, yes. I think we got a morale bonus for just having you with us for the whole army. It was pretty good.
I keep the whole party hearty.
Yes.
Now, darlings, I'm sorry, I don't suppose you have a musical instrument around here, do you?
Let's put some pants count.
I will flat out say that you could have acquired a lute before you left the Silver Keep.
Oh, all right.
If you requested one, you would have been given one. That's not a big deal.
Okay. Not a lute. A lyre or a viol.
Yeah.
All right.
Whatever instrument that you decide is your instrument. All
right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Master Pith, do you require anything?
Only badges to continue my work, my lord.
You are free to continue your work and will be given all information pertaining that and other things which you might find tangible from Darius.
As it is. I'm here to serve you, my lord.
Go through me. Go to him directly. No, I understand. And our common goal of defeating the undead is part of what I seek to do on a personal quest, but yes.
You have my full support in any decisions you make.
And I'm glad to have it.
Onward, I believe.
Onward
the Moving Mountain Clan awaits us.
Indeed. So I guess we are a traveling band of halfling cooks?
I mean, if I manage to get my wagon back over the ocean, we're absolutely right.
You're traveling with a trade caravan that is going towards the Moving Mountain.
Oh, yeah, okay, fair enough then, okay. Because I just, if it's not just the halfling chef contingent, then I guess...
No, you're not all, like, dressed up as chefs.
Well, I mean, it could be incredibly funny, because it actually would kind of make sense, because then I would be the man at arms, that would be a traveling bard who has come along with us, and we have a priest of the Gulord with us in order to travel safely across, like, hostile lands.
I could also cast Prestidigitation, so...
Amazing, yeah. All right.
You can also, that's great.
Trade Caravan, are they aligned with us in any way, or are they just random people?
No, Darius has still been in control of his network, so you have, they're hired by you to basically trade goods. So basically, this is just sort of the active upkeep that you're doing. Yeah, this is the active upkeep you're doing to keep your place in the desert sort of up and running.
Check out. Okay, fair enough. Cool. Well, in that case, Jordan is probably a lot of around and like greets people he met before and stuff like that.
All right.
To the Moving Mountain Clan.
Okay, so you arrive at the stronghold of the Moving Mountain Clan. As I mentioned previously, the Moving Mountain Clan is one of the few clans that have a semi-permanent stronghold. So you basically arrive back. There's a small clearing in sort of their mountain ranges where they have where they basically have their totem set up, and they have like sort of tent village set up, where they sort of have their encampment. Now, Darius, you have been here in the past. You know that you have worked between the Moving Mountain Clan and your cousins in the Dwarfs. So going back to historics and D&D stuff, dwarves don't like giants in general, but for Goliaths, they see Goliaths as distant kin, because as the dwarves respect the mountain because they live under the mountain, the Goliaths respect the mountain because they live on the mountain. They both they see each other sort of as like a different followers of the same god, if if I can give like a sort of a similar thing. So basically they're different cultures sort of meshed together well. So Goliaths and dwarves have actually had good relations, just so that you're aware. Additionally, Baron Urinin, as the leader of the barony, you do know that you were sort of passed the torch from your father. You would have spent some time in your youth training with the clan. The Goliath's lives are actually much shorter than halfling lives. So you've probably also seen multiple generations of the Goliaths
Take over. I'm not that old, but it has happened.
Yes. As I said, but you, like Goliaths, we're talking about old for a Goliath would be like 40.
Yeah.
Like, and for a halfling, you can get to 200 without whatchamacallit. Without too much
slowing down, down.
Yeah. And as I said, your father probably was close to 200 when he died of old age. So yeah. It's like, you know, so it's not unheard of for you to see like three generations sort of come and go from the Goliath tribe.
I'm a fixture within that tribe because it's like yes, it's the immortal Baron on us.
And as I said, like the
he is unmoving like the mountain. He is unchanging.
Yeah, you have actually like when you come back, it's like oh he trained with our grandfather. It's like yes. When our grandfather was young, he was training with him. So that's sort of how it sort of is pictured. Anyway,
there's the story of when I stood on top of a mountain and my shadow was so large that I was like the mountain itself. Yes.
Okay. So, as I said, you arrive back towards the moving mountain clan. So, as you sort of approach, the more trade-aligned members of the clans will start to go up, and then once they see you, they will direct you to go talk to Alcaster.
Yes. I think they have a pretty rough folks, if I remember correctly. What would be the most like appropriate for me to barge in like an old friend and do the equivalent of, because I can't do that, of picking him up and throwing him around?
I believe he picked you up last time you saw him.
I believe so too. But it is basically in that vein that I should think, right?
mm-hmm.
All right, wonderful.
Okay. All right, so let's get this link set up so that you guys have something that you're aware of.
I'm gonna definitely grab the ladder from the apple box.
Okay.
So basically, what is the next step, kind of?
Their allies. We're picking up the allies, or we're not picking them up so much that we are getting into information with them about what's going on more firmly and to see what aid they can give us to make a base of operation and reconquer my homelands.
All right. Who specifically?
There's a Goliath barbarian tribe of the Moving Mountain Clan. They're also very sturdy, very physically strong. So if you're looking for a champion to just like bodily protect you, they might not be the wrong people about that. Yeah.
You're right. Okay. Cool.
Okay. Yeah. So when you picture a Goliath, they are humanoid. They're humanoid. They stand 8 to 9 feet tall.
It's like 7 to 8 feet tall or something.
I thought that was even larger than that, but I'll double check. Yeah. Anyway, so, Goliaths stand between 7 and 8 feet tall and weigh between 280 and 340 pounds. Their size is medium. So they're basically humans of a, with giant sort of ancestry. So they're very large. Their skin tones sort of ranged like the same color as you would see on stone. So you have like the whites and grays, you have black, but then you could also have like painted like mountain type colors, so like red and blues and stuff like that. So they come in a variety of colors. So basically that's the way they work. You will notice that most of this tribe, they tend to wear leather armor. They have some metal weapons, but they actually have stone-shaped weapons, which is something that you could look into if you wanted to make a roll for that, about stone shaping in their culture.
Okay. By the way, the image that you're showing is where we're headed.
Where we are. That's
where you are. Yes. That is basically the stronghold of the Moving Mountain Clan.
Is there a name for the whole tribe?
The tribe's name is the Moving Mountain Clan. That's their tribe name.
The what?
Moving Mountain Clan.
Moving Mountain. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Where was it?
Sorry if I sometimes ask too many questions. I just
get it.
In general, I expect my players not to remember anything and I have to explain to them multiple times. So this is fine.
We don't remember anything. I'm sorry. Besides Prot and Paul, we don't remember anything about this fucking world.
Prot and Paul? Wait, what?
Robert.
What did I say?
Was also Paul?
Look, guys, I woke up and started playing. Fuck off.
Okay. Jürgen is also pretty good at it. Jürgen actually remembers a lot of things I don't remember.
Here's what goes on. Robert, I rely on for knowing all D&D lore, all of the old school D&D lore.
So wrong, but yes.
Yes.
Robert, I have brought up extremely remote old school stuff, and you have picked up on it. So don't give me that.
Yeah.
And Jorgen will remember everything that has happened in game. He might not know the greater lore, but he will know everything that he's been sitting down for. He will know.
Yeah. Together, we are very efficient.
Yes.
All right.
War 40K, I'm your guy. But other than that,
War 40K, he's your guy, and I'm the lost one. That's completely fine.
Okay. Yeah. And we will be right back with the next episode. I'm going to stop the recording here. I'm going to go grab a drink, and I'll be right back.
Perfect.
Is it fine if I take a 5-minute break?
Yeah, go ahead. Take a 5-minute break.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.